Coke.
I had one last night because I was at the opera. So.
Did you see Brasalka? Was it good?
Were you late?
Never.
Did anyone unwrap any goddamn candies in the vicinity of your earring?
Oh, I'm so triggered when I'm at the opera every time. One girl was like conducting with her hand. I wanted to slap the shit out of
her. Yeah. I can see that.
I need blinders, like a horse.
Sure.
So I can't get distracted. And then I actually bring earplugs sometimes because if someone's doing something ongoing, I'm like, just put one in. And then I'm like, now I can enjoy. It sounds insane, but it's all about compromise.
Enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't like being that. No, I
If you freak out during Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, I can't even imagine during an opera. Because Cinderella was like, meant nothing to us. And he was like, don't do that.
Must do it right now.
Yeah. So it was some girl like getting out of candy or I don't know what she was doing. You're like, can you not do that?
Time and place. You know when you're going to need one.
Nerds. Drunk nerds. These are the voyages. Drunkest nerds in Toronto. This time on the Popular Parallax.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.
You're so ready.
Star Trek. I'm so ready. I've been waiting for this episode for 3 years. So
here we go.
Star Trek, the Next Generation. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Jer.
How's it going?
I'm fine.
I'm so excited.
It's flu season. I think it's catching up with me.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm on Cough Tylenol cold right now.
Codeine.
So I would be normal for this episode and not cough.
And then you did all that coke to balance it out. So things are going to be great. Your heart's just going to give out at any point.
It's racing right now. Beads of sweat forming on my forehead.
I know that's me.
Not unlike some kind of empathetic dream about an old couple dancing around a musical box over and over again. The references are endless.
Get ready,
because this show is so much and such a favorite, I brought in extra backup to talk about it, which is a guest that we've mentioned on the show many a time, and now he's here, the secret nerd, Donna the Supermodel.
Welcome, Donna the Supermodel!
Yay!
Hello.
Fresh off of Call Me By Your Name Summer.
Sure, yeah. That's true.
Insanely jealous. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm excited. I'm interested to see what we come up with, and I already know what we're going to disagree about. So that's not going to be a surprise.
Get set up.
Yeah.
For fighting. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I'm in school taking design stuff and being inspired by Star Trek.
Yes.
Quite a lot, actually.
That's amazing. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's fair. There's a lot of really incredible design on the show.
Yeah, and we actually have like set design courses and stuff at school that you can take. It is definitely an industry that people go into from my program.
Yeah, you get the practical application and the also like creative. Well, welcome. We're very happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So I'm kind of, I'm feeling like the kid. It's my first year at the adult table. I'm just hoping I don't embarrass mom and say something stupid.
You will.
Please call me out on it and ship me back to the kids' table at any point.
It's not Degrassi, the Next Generation.
See, that's, yeah.
That's a low blow.
That's where we started.
That's how it happened.
Season 2, Jericho was like, do you want to do a TNG episode? And I said, my childhood, everything I related to through my teens. Yes, absolutely. Let's start with the simplest episode where...
You're like, Drake? Is it Drake?
And she said, you can get out, and you're fired. And I'm talking about Star Trek, you inseparable dickhead.
We were talking about Max Headroom, and you didn't know what that was. So I said, remember the time travel episode, right? We all remember it. But
yeah,
he
when
was
Drake
on
goes
it.
Back in time.
And he and you were like, exactly. And you were like, what? Drake? Is it Drake? And I was like, what? And then I realized you were talking about two totally different things when I said TNG.
Equally great shows.
Equally
but like
great.
Different sides of the sort of cultural spectrum in terms of respectability.
We'll have to take your word on that.
Yeah.
Or you could watch all 700 seasons and never end. I'm really excited to let you both just like dive in. I know you're big fans of this show. It's a huge, especially, well, for Jerrica, I didn't know.
It's a cultural zeitgeist.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. In and of itself.
Yeah.
It's something that, it's weird, I don't feel like it's something I wear on my sleeve, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
It's not.
It's just like, it's never been something that I wanted to physically identify myself with. That I've been compelled to, you know.
Shame. And you will lose the trivia portion of this episode.
Well, no.
So let's start out with just some basic TNG facts. Started in 1987. Ran through 1994. So let's talk about that. How did you get into it? Let's start with you, Jerrica. When did you get into TNG?
I did start watching it the first year it was on, but I don't remember. I remember seeing Encounter at Farpoint later and being like, huh, huh. So I feel like the first episode I saw was like one of the first ones, but not that.
Is it the first one, Encounter at Farpoint? Is it the first episode?
Encounter at Farpoint, it's a double episode.
Right,
and
okay.
It is nuts. Troy's crying the whole time because she's literally empathetic. Like, anything you feel, she feels.
Right.
It's tough and Riker is, well, he needed work. They all did. Maybe the first one I saw, it's coming back to me, was the...
Yes,
the horrifying African settlement, let's fight to the death with Tasha and that other lady. And I was like, oh yeah, metal stabby hands. And sort of missed the other overlying problems of it, which was that it was like a 40s tribal Africa thing.
Yeah, it was not.
That went over my head as a 9-year-old. But really? I did start watching it after that because I liked the fighting and stuff. Like, I was
you were going to,
hey,
be disappointed.
How often on TV did you see two ladies fighting where they weren't like naked?
In a pit of like
mud. Yeah.
It was so more spirited gymnastics on a playground.
It was,
fighting,
but still.
You're right.
Still.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
I just remember the sleeve she wore with like all the spikes coming out of her face.
Like, yeah.
And Tasha's like, I'm the worst security guard in the world. I'm a cheater. You're like, okay, girl. It's great when you're the head of security and you look terrified at all times. That's a like default expression.
Well, that was the sad thing, is that she never really got it. Her character never got a chance to evolve the way the other ones
but
did.
I also think she was fairly poor.
I really liked her. She may have been, but there was something about it for me that really worked.
The concept of it worked.
I guess what I'm thinking of is, I think the first one where she came back was probably Yesterday's Enterprise.
That's right.
And when that little dimension shift happens and it pans up to her, it was just like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah.
It's so cool. It was just this, when you get to do this thing that you never thought was going to be possible, and then you're like, oh my god, there is a way to explore this other avenue, and isn't this interesting? And
I think she's effective, and something interesting I learned is that she was originally cast as Deanna Troi, and Marina Sirtis was originally cast as Tasha.
Yeah, because they wanted like, sort of a Greek... bulldog kind
of. Sort
and then
of
they
like
were
a,
like, wait, you're too hot.
Hang,
let's
hold
switch this around.
At the beginning, Marina, a little rough, but she really grew into
Marina
that part.
Marina knew how to not quit a show.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, don't quit.
Oh, is that what happened? She quit?
Yes.
Oh.
So she's damn lucky. They were like, hey, do you want to come back? And she's like, oh yeah, I just realized I can't get anything because I'm not that great.
You haven't seen Pet Sematary?
Stand corrected.
Or Dolly Dearest?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Is that a Mommy Dearest sequel?
No, she had some horror films she was in. I mean, Pet Sematary was huge, but Dolly Dearest was. And she had she's done more recent ones too, actually. But again, she sort of ended up in that B-list horror genre.
No? Bing Crosby's granddaughter.
I know.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
That'll only get you so far.
So
what about yourself? How did you start watching the show?
The first time I can actually remember watching anything was the last episode. And I remember my parents were watching it. And we didn't have cable, so everything was always like fuzzy and blurry on the televisions. Because this was in like the 40s. So, but I remember that being on. But then I think I started watching them when they were just on in syndication. Really, really enjoying them, and they'd be on late at night, and there was just this sort of atmosphere about it for me. I don't know, probably added to the compelling nature of it for me.
Do you think you should have an understanding of the original series before going into TNG, or do you think it stands alone and you can just start right there?
I mean, I think it can stand alone. I don't think it hurts to know what the other show is.
Sure.
Because they, I guess the longer the show went in, the less afraid they were to try to tie it together a little bit. At first, they were just copying it. Like, the first season is so old school and so sexist, because it's literally the old show.
Yeah.
That they just took it, and they were like, made these people do these old plot lines. Then, as the show got more sophisticated, they turned into their own thing, but they weren't as afraid to mention something that happened or bring somebody on. Like, they brought Spock on at one point.
Well, even in the first episode, McCoy Kelly is
up.
In it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about this today, actually, because I don't really have an appreciation for the original series. I do want to go back and watch it sort of completely. Obviously, it helped with having an established audience. And so I think that it owed a lot to it at the beginning. And then as it went on, when they did decide to bring people back, it's almost like they deigned to do it. It was like, you know, and
yeah.
One of the reasons it is so successful was because of its predecessor, even if they ended up being completely different things.
Move to intercept.
Aye, sir.
Sir, the vessel has already changed course to intercept us. Approaching at warp 9.3. Entering visual range.
On screen.
Magnify. Mr. Worf, dispatch a subspace message to Admiral Hanson. We have engaged the Borg.
And I mean, I clearly remember a space of time from about its fourth season to the end where it was one of the most popular mainstream shows. It wasn't like now where it's like this like space channel or whatever. We didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
It was on regular TV and everybody was going nuts. Like, it wasn't just like nerds, or it was just like a full primetime show.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's very Game of Thrones, actually.
There you go. Yeah.
Because like, you think like...
It had that pop
10
kind
years
of popularity.
Ago or whatever. Castles and Dragons, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's funny reading about how there was so much reverence for the original series and so many of the actors had trepidation about signing on because they're like, it's not gonna work. It's not.
Oh no!
Star Trek
was
Star Trek. Like,
oh, really?
Patrick Stewart, he's like, I'm not unpacking. Like, this shit is not lasting longer than a year. Like,
yeah.
I know. I'm gonna get some money. I'm gonna go back to England and do some more Shakespeare. Like,
yeah.
That's what this is. And then it's turned into, from an outside perspective, what I see is like the most revered of every iteration of Star Trek.
It ended up being very special.
Yeah.
Probably because of a number of conditions that I think that were imposed upon it by Gene Roddenberry. I mean, one of the most obvious ones, the main cast members weren't supposed to have any sort of like ongoing long-term conflict.
Right.
Which they threw out the window after a while. But also because I think just the cast happened to gel extremely
well. The cast had a chemistry.
Yeah.
No matter how, there were varying levels of skill, but they worked together so well, and none of the other shows ever had that, I don't think.
So why do you think he implemented that utilitarian, like, where there's not going to be any, like, Data and Troy, like, drama?
But there was. Okay.
But for the first couple seasons, like,
yeah.
that he was very, like, from what I read, very strict.
He had this thing about this utopian future where we'd all, like, learn how to work together with the cultures and genders and... There weren't money problems, and it was this whole, like, we're just here to improve our minds.
Yeah.
It was this real manifesto that made it difficult to write compelling stories.
I bet, yeah.
For the writers.
It's interesting to think about it in that way, because I think probably at the time, this idea of, in the future, we're all just going to get along, was this really kind of unnuanced take on... This is how we end racism and sexism and everything. It's just like, we just pretend everything's the same and everything's equal. And I get it. Like, that's a sort of instinctual place to go. However, we know now the actual way to do that is to acknowledge differences and sort of like shortcomings and that it's not quite as clean cut as that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get what he was trying to do in his way.
I think in a way it was almost cheating. It was a shortcut saying, like, we've gone through all that already, and now it's all fixed.
Progress happened.
It
We're
happened.
There, baby.
No, it did. Yeah. It happened because
But I like that, too. So
I liked it, too, and I did find, like, I liked how they let you know, like, Troy was such a, like, girly girl with her makeup and her weird costume, but it didn't mean they didn't believe her when she would say something. I don't know, like, I always liked that about the show, that they didn't say, like, the women have to be, like G.I. Jane or something to be taken seriously.
There's a lot of ideas on the show that, watching it now, keeping in mind that it's set in the 80s, a lot of it's like, that's pretty progressive to talk about, you know, these big themes, because every episode has big themes, big ideas for the 80s. And I think it's interesting that, you know, because it was set in the 24th century, they can sort of afford, like, to present these ideas to an audience in a way that's, it's like, it's not today, I know, like, we're not here yet, but look, it's so easy to get there, it's like, no big deal, we can be transgender, we can be no gender, like, whatever. What are some examples that you find were successful in doing that, in sort of bringing up these ideas in a very futuristic time for a 1980s, 1990s audience, and what ones maybe weren't so successful? Does that question make sense? No?
Well, sort of. I mean, I think almost everything they tried in the, like, the earlier shows was clumsy and is kind of embarrassing now. When it was like the 40s tribal Africa colony of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, and that's because a lot of the writers in the first season were the writers of the original show. Yeah. Like, they're old white guys. You can tell on the show where, at the third season, I think, or there's a woman producer steps in.
And yeah, who Patrick Stewart nearly married.
Yeah, but look at the changes that happen. Suddenly, there are gray-haired people, like, running some of the consoles, and there's, the women are, like, not so as, like, Barbie-ish, and they're different ages, and they're different plot lines happening to our two very female caregiver main lady characters.
Right.
I think they start going, uh-oh. I think they knew partway through the show, they're like, we've made a mistake. Like, we've given both the women these caretaker roles. They never get to do anything really out front and center, so now we've got to make it happen.
Right.
And then you start getting these stories like, everybody's down on the planet and Crusher has to, like, captain the ship with the skeleton crew, and those kinds of stories start happening, and that's only because the writing and producing team became more mixed.
Interesting. Hmm. I've always gravitated toward the female characters more in, like, video games, in shows or whatever. So I loved it when that stuff happened.
Yeah, me
I mean,
too.
Like, one of my favorite episodes, even though it isn't, I wouldn't even say it's, like, a good episode, was Disaster. Because, and first of all, I had it on tape, so I watched it a billion times.
Yeah, Troy, like, on the bridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't know if everyone else is dead or not. Like, it's Troy and Ro having a power struggle on the bridge.
Yeah, and Ro's just like, this bitch, right?
Yeah.
And Cole Meany's like,
actually, she outranks all of us.
Yeah.
So.
And she's in her fucking blue spandex dress, which makes it even better.
Right.
Like, she looks like a cocktail.
She was 100% wearing the purple gray one in that.
Oh, was she? Okay.
I can tell you that because I remember the way her hair bounced as she turned away from the children of Picard as they went into the True Lift. Because she kind of does this swing thing, and it's like, it's one of my favorite wigs.
Yeah, that is a good
wig. So, yes. And exactly, though. She's, you know, basically this chick.
Yeah.
On in charge all of a sudden, and she realizes how little she knows, and that later compels her to actually, like, take a bridge officer's test, and, like, you know, and that happens to coincide with her wearing a uniform, which is sort of separate, but it's nice that they actually took something from that and then moved it forward. But in this, it's like the person in charge, who was also a woman, I think, got killed, and then on the bridge at the time, and then it ended up being this sort of power struggle between Ro and Deanna. And so I just love that episode so much. And that's kind of the best part. Like, I'm not so interested in, like, Keiko giving birth or whatever.
No, nobody cares about that. I liked the kids with the captain in the lift.
Of course, that
I
was
enjoyed
good.
That, because when that show was on, I was pretty close to those kids' age.
Right.
That's why
the mushrooms
in
the special dirt and the kids.
That's why I loved Rascals, where they all turn into kids in the transporter accident. They have this great kid that played Picard.
Yes.
And then the other three are pretty good too.
Yeah.
But I remember watching it being so annoyed that they were being taken seriously.
Right.
And then even watching it again now, I was like, you know who it is.
Right.
Like, why are you being weird?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's like...
That's your wife you just had sex with this morning.
Yeah. No, but, you know, like, Picard would say, we're going to do this. And they're like, oh, what? And I'm like, they just said that it is really him. Like, I wouldn't be weird.
Right.
But...
That, and actually, that kid played his nephew, in a previous episode.
That's right.
A previous...
Rene.
Later died, so...
Yeah. So that was all for nothing.
Yeah. That was one that I love. I love scenarios where things are, like, fucked up for a while, and then... You have to kind of work them back to normal.
Yeah.
They have those dramatic,
like, fish out of water type plot lines.
Right.
There's certain types of episodes, right? There's these, like, fish out of waters. There's these ship in the bottles where nothing happens outside the ship because they're trying to save money. And then there's these big episodes where they have other sets and they're on location or something like that. And then there's these quirky episodes that are, like, the holodeck or, like, Q or some... Something stupid that you roll with because they're pretty good actors.
True Q.
Well, any of the Q episodes, really. You're like, oh, here we go. It's going to be one of these ones.
So do you have a favorite type of episode? Like, in general, if you look at sort of your favorite episodes, do you prefer the fish out of water or over the bottle episodes?
I find sometimes the greatest writing happens in those tight bottle episodes. For example, one of my favorites, Drumhead. Gene Simmons.
Who is, like, comes from the... line of Vivian Leigh lookalikes. Like, she's just...
But she was, like, she won an Oscar for playing Ophelia with Olivier.
Mm.
So here she is as a retired admiral.
Yes, dressed in a dress that looks like a fish that is in the process of eating her.
Yeah. It's gorgeous velvet thing. She looks like a Disney cartoon. Like, Snow White
a
queen a little bit. Yeah, villain. And the whole episode sort of eats in on itself into this. She thinks there's this conspiracy, and by the end we realize there is no conspiracy. She's just questioning every person on the ship over and over and over. It gets down to the captain.
That episode
what a scene.
Is another one of my favorites.
Me too.
Yeah.
There's no money involved in this episode. It's like a great play in a studio.
I would have to agree with you on the bottle episode front. I think some of my favorite ones really are the bottle episodes. And there's something just about... The show is very, like, sort of slice of life, right? Like, a lot of their journeys were just, like, ferrying ambassadors places, you know? It's not like they were constantly involved in some sort of intergalactic war, but this is just a fucking diplomatic episode. That's all it is. It's like someone's trying to ferry out. There was an explosion which ended up being an accident, and they're trying to find out if there's some conspiracy. You were fortunate enough to have two tremendous actors in that, Patrick Stewart and Gene Simmons, and that also, I believe, was the last episode that was scored by Ron Jones. It's just so good. And in fact, one of my favorite quotes comes from that episode. And it's where he quotes her father when he's on the stand. And she's like, you can't use my father's fucking quote against him.
You know, there are some words I've known since I was a schoolboy. But the first link the chain is forged, the first speech censured, the first thought forbidden, the first freedom denied, chains us all irrevocably. Those words were uttered by Judge Aaron Satie as wisdom and warning. The first time any man's freedom is trodden on, we're all damaged. I fear that day...
How dare you! You who consort with Romulans, invoke my father's name to support your traitorous arguments. It is an offense to everything I hold dear. And to hear those words used to subvert the United Federation of Planets. My father was a great man. His name stands for integrity and principle. You dirty his name when you speak it.
And then it just ends, and it just, you know, it doesn't have to come to any kind of huge conclusion, because the entire thing...
Well, there's another admiral that's come to watch what's going on, and he just walks out. He doesn't say anything, he just walks out, and you know it's over.
It concludes beautifully, and Worf, poor Worf, always the butt of the joke, always the, actually, Worf, we're not going to do that, that's a terrible idea. You know, he sort of gets the wrap up at the very end.
Yeah.
And it's like, I believed in her.
Yeah.
And Picard,
I helped her.
I know.
He's like, it's okay, dummy, don't worry about it.
But I'll say two of my favorite quotes. So mm-hmm. that one and the second one where he says something along the lines of constant vigilance. That is the price we pay.
You say that all the time.
I do.
Donna. And I know what it's from.
Ha! What's the context for that quote? Constant vigilance.
That there's always someone ready to take advantage of any kind of, let's say, imperfect climate. And so we always have to be reevaluating what essentially our baseline is, because there are people who will try to adjust that baseline. So you think things that you would have thought are crazy are not crazy. And I feel like we're going through a lot of that right now.
It's like McCarthyism. Yeah. That's what it's really about.
Okay.
Is like some, like, I'm going to take advantage of this, like, say, communist situation, and I'm going to start questioning every single person
yeah.
about who their contacts are, what they've been doing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
and
it's like.
And it seems reasonable.
Yeah, and everybody's, like going along with it.
Yeah, right, right.
So that's another reason, you know, like, that episode is just so perfect, is because it is so smart and timeless, because it is true. It's something we always have to be going back to.
So what are some of your other favorite episodes?
I'm gonna mention my third favorite, because I picked three.
Okay.
Cause and Effect.
You
yes,
did
was,
say that.
Sorry, I couldn't. There were a bunch that I liked, and I settled on Cause and Effect.
He said it's Cause and Effect.
Which is also another.
I just watched
episode.
That the other night, and I was like, damn, this is good.
Okay, and I had trouble, and I know we're not gonna see eye to eye on this, but that's fine. I really like the Beverly centered episodes. And a bunch of them happen to be bottle episodes as well. But this one, it's so interesting for a number of reasons. They go through the same sequence of events basically like five times or something like that. It's interesting because they have to figure out how to film it differently each time, or how to like make different cues happen in different ways so that it's not like repetitive.
I think it's something they could never have asked for the audience of, like, in the second or third season. Like, you have to be patient. You were sitting it out. The
yeah.
same thing's happening. The same sequence of events is happening, like, for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Okay.
It's very good. And it's, but again, it's just like, if you think about it in its entirety, the entire thing probably happens over the span of like 10 hours
yeah.
or less.
Yeah, it's a day
you
or
know,
less.
It just happens to repeat. And not that much happens, really, is the one, they sort of like get out of one skirmish and that's it.
Well, there's one catastrophic event.
Well, yes, but
then it resets.
It starts off with the destruction of the ship, essentially, and then it keeps going back and repeating where the events leading up to that destruction.
Very cool.
Yeah,
okay.
But
okay.
It keeps getting destroyed, and it keeps getting destroyed. And so, eventually, something happens with the fact that they're sort of like wearing out this piece of carpet in space, space-time, as they're going through it, where they start to recognize or feel patterns.
It's like feeling deja vu.
Yeah.
They're like, I feel like I've done this before.
Right.
Okay. You haven't.
Yeah.
But they have.
And then
yeah.
they figure out how to like send messages into the future. You gotta take a big leap in terms of, first of all, their technology and their conjecture. But I go with it because it's awesome. It's Beverly focused. It's mostly about her experience, and she's the one who seems to be first noticing these things. And I also love that it starts out with them playing poker. It's one of these intimate
things.
Where they
can use the poker game for the story, because they're always playing poker, and it's
mm-hmm.
always just this thing. And in this, it actually matters.
Yeah.
Keep dealing, Data.
Eight. Ace?
A queen. You're going to give me a queen. And you're going to get a four. Deal, Data.
But no one has bet.
I forget the bet, just deal. 10. 7. Queen.
9. Jack. 4. Deuce. 6.
This is highly improbable.
How did we know?
Wait. Crusher to sick bay.
Sick bay here.
Is Commander LaForge there?
No, Doctor, he's not. Wait a minute. He just came in.
I have such a crush on Crusher.
She's amazing.
But who has to save them? Good old Data. As
I know.
Always.
I know.
I mean, 5% of the time he's trying to kill everybody, but the rest of the time he's saving everybody.
It's true, it's true. It's
and
true.
I will tell you one of my third favorite episodes,
please.
Which is an insane Data episode. He's one of my favorites.
I'm gonna, can I guess? Is it Data's day?
No.
Oh.
It's Masks.
Captain.
Captain! I've been waiting for you. You should feel honored. I don't usually wait for anyone.
What is it you want?
Masaka is waking.
Are you Masaka?
I am not Masaka. I am Ihat.
What have you done to Commander Data?
Commander Data? You mean the one who was here?
Yes.
He's gone. Who can say where?
You asked Brent Spiner and you say, hey, can you play 20 parts this week? He's like, let's party.
Oh my God.
And you get the craziest one-man show. They have this float, they find this ancient, like, floating archive in space that just, like, clamps on to the Enterprise, like, with a tractor beam. They call Counselor Troi, like, she can do anything. It's a mechanical failure. And they're like, right. Call a shrink. And of course, she comes down and he's like, you're a goddess. You're my god. And I'm like, I can get into this. And then 10 seconds later, he's like, now I'm a little girl. And you're like, what is going on? Like, it is the greatest episode. The whole ship turns into, like, a fucking floating swamp. And then at the end, all have to do is fix it is that Patrick has to become like the king,
right?
And Dave's playing like the queen, and he has to say, you have to settle down, and she's like, okay, and it finishes,
right?
Yes.
Literally, yes, queen.
Yes. So he was totally unafraid to do anything, and sometimes it doesn't work, but they would just be like, you're gonna do this, and he'd be like, okay.
I don't think he was phenomenal as an actor.
I do. I thought he was amazing.
I liked him as Data.
Yeah.
When he did other stuff, though, I found it a little, I don't know, on or something. There was something about it that I just wasn't quite buying it, but it's also really hard.
It was very theatrical.
Yes.
I really thought that, like, Stewart was, like, the main thing holding up the show, but I thought Brent was right there.
Yeah, okay.
Because they used him so heavily. Mm-hmm. And as, you're right, when he had to do other person, which was crazy, they were like, you're still Data, but also you're this, and he'd be like, okay, and he would do it, and it was serviceable enough, but when he was that character, mm-hmm. how you play, it's like you're a machine, but there's something else there, but not too much, and it's just, and I found myself, they do things where he would look at something, and you just be going, what is he thinking? Like, is anything going on, or is nothing going on? And he always kept that, like, aura of sort of mystery about, it's like, what is this thing? And that's what they wanted.
Very neutral.
Neutral, but there was you always felt like something else is there.
Oh,
but he
sure.
wouldn't let it all the way out
sure. yeah.
enough to prove anything.
Right. I mentioned Data's Day because it was such a good one for him. That I find interesting because it shows his, I mean, as much as certain type of nerd likes to think that they are robots and that everything is very sort of mathematical and in terms of how they treat people and expect people to behave. That is very interesting because it's like, he's objective. He's objective about himself. He's objective about everything, and he has to be because he's a robot and therefore can still like respect and communicate with someone who's just trying to kill him, essentially. It's like, who is just, because he recognizes that there's something interesting there. It's like the good part of being a lot.
Yeah, I guess it was like the Spock character, but it's less irritating.
Also, like, that didn't ever make any sense.
No.
Like, you're not emotional until you are.
Yeah, you're choosing to not use it, and it kind of gets into all things.
You can't lie?
Just, yeah.
What? Also, yeah. There was some silly stuff that they set off from the beginning with Data, like, you can't use contractions. It's like, what?
It's talking about Lore Ken. That's how we know who the bad robot is.
Right.
That's a disaster of a plot line right there. And that's not his fault. That's just terrible writing.
And I love evil twins, but
I know.
Come on.
I mean, you have a couple of evil twins.
They're dead. Well, quadruplets.
So's Lore.
And I got two out of three. Yeah. One I ate in vitro.
Yeah. That's the easiest way to get rid of them. Mm. That's what I found.
I know, a pound, what is it, like an ounce of prevention?
That's right. Ew.
What are some of your other favorite episodes, Jericho?
We were talking just before, we didn't talk too much, but we were saying, should we avoid, like, the obvious greatest episodes?
Yeah,
that's
like what I advocate
Best
for.
Of Both Worlds, which is, that is probably my favorite, part one.
Yeah.
It's great.
Probably my favorite episode of all time. I'll never forget seeing it for the first time.
Ron Jones did the music.
Yeah, so that's probably one of my favorites, but there are like a million.
One of my favorite moments, and again, I haven't seen
what is one of your favorite episodes out of the ones you've seen?
I'm gonna blow your mind here. Yes. Season 1, episode 2.
Oh my god, Naked Now.
See, that's from the old show. The Naked Time was the name of the episode on the original series.
Yeah, that was a repurposed phase 2.
And they were like, let's just do it again. Everybody acts like an idiot.
It's so funny.
Nancy loves when people like fall over.
It was like, I was having an okay time. I was like, Tasha's a bit like, she wasn't drunk. She was just like really horny. But it was as soon as Picard was affected, and he just kind of like stumbles over to Crusher and is like, Doctor, don't do this to me now. It was them two in the episode. I loved it. I can't wait to see where this goes. Yeah. But I can't believe they kept that will they won't they going for 7 seasons.
That's skill.
Most rom-com series can't pull that off for more than 3.
Just this hanging background thing.
And that is, again, another really interesting thing is that they have this shared history, shared trauma. And they kind of address it in the first episode where she's like, I understand if you don't want me here. It's dumb. But a lot about the first episode is dumb. That just, having that established backstory, and then like as you get to know the characters, makes them more compelling knowing that their history goes back even further than we do.
What's the episode with the alien who's like the mental rapist? You shouldn't remember Violations. It like this. That's a good episode.
Yeah. The what?
Violations.
It's good of you to come.
It's the least I can do. You shouldn't remember him like this.
I have to face the fact that he's gone.
And you have to go through Jack in the morgue like 300 times because this alien would torture people with their own memories and then he would get in there and like change stuff so he was there and then they'd be unconscious. And with Beverly it was he would do it to anyone who started to suspect what he was actually doing.
Yeah.
So he got her with that. Troy's was an actual like a rape scene almost. And then he got Riker with something too.
Yeah,
that was a good episode.
Yeah, it was good. It was.
I thought it was very interesting. It was dark. It was gross.
And I like the dark ones.
Yeah.
But
I love those coats. That look like those doilies. Look like.
Honestly, I see that and I'm like, I could laser cut that. Out of felt.
Yes.
Fashion,
like goat vellum or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting one, and it's always cool to have little flashbacks.
So I think any show is hard to sustain for 7 seasons. Like, it's pretty rare that you get a show that is, like, across the board, pretty good for 7 seasons, if not great. And from what I understand, season 2 is not either of your favorites.
No, and what I find so interesting is that, like, basically for me it's like 3 on, and even 3 can be a bit touch and go. But the fact that it only has, like, that short period, but is so dense with quality and dense with ones that I want to watch again is kind of amazing because it doesn't seem like a show that only had like 3 or 4 good seasons.
Right.
But it kind of is.
With season 1 and season 2, there's ones in there that are unbelievably bad where you're just like, this is kind of a disaster. But then once in a while, one pops up where you're like, this is why this lasted. Like, the ideas are there, but they're not polished. Season 2, Times Squared.
That's a pretty good one.
It's a great, to me, but now it faltered because you never find out what it is. At the end, they're just like, damn, what the hell was that? So you're like, that's not satisfying. But the concept of this thing coming from 4 hours in the future and how disoriented the passenger is, which is... another Picard is amazing. And the fact that the only way to stop the cycle is for one of them to be destroyed, essentially.
You're right, though. That was one of the few kind of season 2 episode ones that I watched and was like, oh.
Yeah, and that's the kind of one where you watch and you go, something's going on here. Like, something could... The show has some kind of legs to it that just isn't quite there yet.
I think you start to see where it's going to go.
Exactly.
A lot of that at the time... wasn't, and I mean it is episodic, so fine, everything's different in every episode, but that was sort of like, oh, okay, like maybe this direction where things are just like there are no clear answers and nothing is black and white, and you know, it started to be comfortable with just sort of being like,
what if this happens?
Take this away. See, yeah. You know, like, yeah. Like, do what you will.
And they first meet the Borg in that season.
Yes. In season two. Yes, I guess they do. You're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because of Q.
He
pushes them forward, and then he saves them, because mm-hmm. he's such a twat. Yeah. But then at the end, Picard sort of goes, oh, I guess they're coming for us now.
Yeah.
Because they know what we are. And yeah. Sure enough, by season three...
Yeah, and then...
Watch out for yourself, Captain, or they'll destroy you. You have to watch First Contact.
Yeah.
It's the best... I don't know if we're going to get into the films, but that's the best... Yeah, I'm like, no. But that is the best film.
There's four movies?
I loved it, yeah. The middle two, like, I think Insurrection is not that bad either, but it's like a show.
Okay.
It's like watching an episode of the show.
Oh, okay.
But First Contact is bitchin'. So good.
So, would these come out in between seasons? Like,
no,
in the
they
summer?
All, it's all at the end. They finished the show, and then they were like, time for a movie, for a feature film.
That makes more sense, yeah.
I think it was Nigel Barrett who was saying that it was... So it was a strategic thing where they were like, we can make more money with films.
So do you think that's why they stopped after... Because the actors had signed on for 8 seasons. Do you think that's why they stopped after 7 is to make movies?
Oh, I didn't know
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I think it was probably just a money thing.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, because they chose to stop the show.
Yeah, yeah. Which seems surprising. Like,
I mean, I have read that they were at a certain point, let's say the episode where Geordi's trying to find his mom... And they were like, is this all we have left?
What's happening here?
What
was that called? It was like called Connection or Interface.
Interface.
Damn, I'm good. We're both good.
I blocked that one out.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. Poor Geordi did not get a lot of good episodes.
And then his mom isn't, like, she's gone.
Is it a race thing? What is it? Why?
Well, he did end up being, like... You know what? That's a good question.
He was, like, the nerd. Like, this guy couldn't make it with any woman. He couldn't get it to work. And you were just like, oh, Kuna Kinte. Why?
One does wonder if it was this sort of removal of any kind of sexual energy because he's black.
That's what I think. Like, I always wondered about that.
It's a real thing. Yeah, he was just, like, he was harmless, right? He was rendered completely harmless. He falls in love with, like... Okay, give me a sec. Fucking booby trap. He gets finds out there's this scientist who helped design the ship, and they're trying to get out of a trap, and he makes a hologram version of her to try to help. And you know, as soon as she shows up, you got this cheesy Doogie Howser soundtrack music, and she's like, you know, like all cold, and he has to like give her a personality.
Yeah.
And then
like, oh,
he falls in love with this fucking thing. And then eventually, a number of episodes later, like a season later or whatever, the real character of that, played by Susan Gibney, comes on. And
she's
like, she is a piece of work with a capital C. Like, yeah. But you know, he kind of wears her down. But then she finds this fucking hologram that he has of her, and she's like, when you touch the computer, you're touching me, and all this with the ship, and she's like, what the fuck? Like, he should have been arrested, like, he should have lost his job.
Sure.
Yeah, totally. Well, I also wanted to ask you, like, when they do an episode, season 3, Hollow Pursuits.
Oh.
To me, this was a direct commentary on a Star Trek fan.
Right.
Like, Barclay was the ultimate Star Trek fan. He was like, I'm going to go to the holodeck, and I'm going to have... Did you watch
it? Yeah.
Okay. So he makes it so that these people will do anything.
I hadn't thought about that before. That's really interesting.
You wonder, you're like, first of all, that would be my worry with a holodeck from minute one.
Yeah. Sure.
Is that weird shit.
Who will clean up the cum?
Yeah. Exactly. And I loved the whole, like, this is somebody writing their own fan fiction. Should they have kept that character going? No. It should have been a one-off, because it's so annoying. They kept bringing him back.
Oh, did they?
But that episode was kind of interesting to me, as goofy as it was. Like, all holodeck episodes are a little goofy, but that was interesting to me, because you're like, yeah, like, a mentally unstable person could go nuts in here. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the gay episode. So many good ideas there, and then so many questionable actions within the plot to me.
I have to admit, I'm not as fresh on the Outcast. It is not
okay.
One of my go-tos.
I just wanted to point it out, because we do a lot of gay stuff on this podcast.
Do we?
And that was like their attempt at their at tackling like the inequality of gay people. It seems really black and white now. Actually, to me, it almost seems like a trans episode now.
That's
what by accident.
Was trans, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but they didn't mean it to be that way, because she was saying, like,
sure,
we have families and we do this, and why are we different from you? Like, they're making it very basic. My question was, why use Riker as the woman? Riker is not dating a small woman with no chest and questionable genitals.
Yeah.
We don't know, right? They say that they fertilize a pod or something. Like, they have completely different sexual...
Yeah.
Like, to me, I was like, no, Riker would have been the guy who went down with the person, like Worf did at the end. He's like, I'm gonna come and help you get her out of there. That would have... Because Riker's a good guy, but he's not that guy that falls in love with this person. It had to be... It could have been Picard. It could have been one of the women.
Sure, yeah,
that
would have
been
really
anybody else. But I thought that he made the show goofier than it should have been, unfortunately.
I mean, part of the problem was, I think, that they went way too far with the idea that these people are neutral. And then so that character had no personality.
Yeah.
And so there was nothing to fall in love with.
No.
You know, if that had...
No.
If that had been something else, because...
Yeah, if she'd been fabulous, maybe I would have believed it.
And
but
could
she
have
was
like,
just this,
looked
like,
the same way.
Chalk and cheese.
Exactly.
I know.
So that was a big problem, is I think they took this idea of being neutral a bit too far.
Yeah.
I think what they probably wanted to do is take the, quote-unquote, everyman in the show that the audience is going to, like, relate, the dudes are going to relate to the most. And be like, well, see, it's, we can put him in the situation, we're going to make him comfortable in it to the point where he falls in love with... them, and then that's going to be a good conduit for conversation afterwards of all these straight people who can talk about it. But execution versus intention.
Right. Like, I can see that too, but I don't think it works in actual practice.
No.
Like, I was just
a lot
like,
of that episode doesn't work.
But it's, I do remember it making quite an impression on me, because I was stunned by how black the ending was.
Yeah.
And that was a statement.
Yeah.
Like, she was brainwashed.
She's like, no, I'm fine.
She's, I feel
I'm
great.
Better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was so interesting and so good. She has that speech in the, like,
the speech
courtroom.
Quite good.
It is. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's and then even her conversations with Riker about how, you know, people who are born identifying with a gender, they have to hide and live in secret and seek each other out and things like that. And there was a lot of really interesting conversations about gender roles that are still hold up in terms of, you know, the conversations we're having today. Mm-hmm. But then it's just... They don't stick the landing, and it's
I thought they did, because I think they're saying, this is us. Like, all things that they show are really happening in humanity.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, when the old Star Trek, when the Klingon world blows up, it's Chernobyl. But it's not happening to us, it's happening to them.
Right.
And this is this alien species, and they're like, what a shame. And at the end, when that dark, they're saying, this is humanity right now.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, we'll listen to these cute speeches and stuff, but the reality is, they're gonna be.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the end. That's why it hit me so dark, because of course they're horrified by it and they just have to walk away.
Right.
So I'm curious about the timing. I mean, like, obviously the entire show coincides with this, but just like, if this would have been more something they would have focused on because of the AIDS crisis, you know, like, obviously it's not a direct story, but it's certainly adjacent to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that's something that would have brought that idea to the front.
Well, the ACRIS is all these people, like, crying out, and, like, the Reagan administration just being like, it's not happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt like it was a bit of that.
Silence.
Especially with their leaders going, oh, you think we're bad, but we're helping them, and this is the right thing to do. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
I really like episodes where there are alarms.
Red alert. All hands stand to battle stations. Lay in an intercept course to the Romulan ship. Shields up. Load all torpedo bays. Stand by phasers.
Warp factor 8. Engage.
I have this thing where, like...
Oh, that's every episode!
I know. No,
red alert!
But, like, when the shuttle bay doors are going up, that alarm, like, in
that's
disaster... Yes!
Yeah, yeah.
In disaster, that's my favorite moment when they were bringing up the... Where, that was another great scene. That was
with Geordi and Crusher. Yes.
Yeah, and they
have to blow the shit out of there.
Yeah.
So good.
It was amazing. So the alarm, or like the anyway, I just love
that. Alarms. Is a good
so
episode.
There are Romulan
right.
alarms in Timescape, and then they're going backwards, and they're drama.
I feel like the last season they really got experimental too. Mm-hmm. Like they're just like, what if we did this? Yeah. And they're like, why not? We're almost done, so they would do it.
Yeah. So I kind of lumped these together, like Masks and Phantasms and Dark Page and.
So what are your feelings about Picard?
The upcoming series.
I'm excited.
January 23rd, 2020.
Yeah, like, it may be completely different, and I'm trying to, like, prime myself for that. Mm-hmm. In fact, no, sorry, it will be completely different. Mm-hmm. But I...
You want that spirit to be there.
Yeah. I think one has to go into it open-minded, I would say.
How did you feel in the trailer when you saw that Captain Picard Day sign? Did you? What? Yeah, he texted me. He's like, I cried when I saw the cat. I was like, I know.
It was just like, what can we do to like twist the knife into these fucking nerds? Yeah. It was like, how will they both cry and cream at the same time?
Pleasure and pain.
Yeah. So that was perfect. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Captain McCartney.
There's just a little one episode. There's a teaser at the start of the episode where they're doing this thing for the kids on the ship called Captain McCartney.
Picard's
like,
yeah.
What the actual fuck?
Yeah, he's like,
but Riker
children.
Is loving it. He wants the doll. He does the little impersonation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all there is. They put that sign in the trailer and everybody puked.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's the kind of thing though where they had that little human touch when you see them start to become like friends and actually like establishing relations, and the fact that he can sort of like joke around and be like ha 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 and then is great is when they start being able to be more human with each other because the ranks are breaking down, you know, the sort of barriers between that. And my God, if I don't weep every time Deanna says, "You were always welcome" at the poker game.
Oh,
at the end of the episode.
I know.
Like, when.
What a brilliant ending. Perfect. Oh my God. Like, that's how you go out on a high, too.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad they stopped the show.
Yeah.
It's like, I'd rather see it end, like, boom, than, like, then sort of stutter to an end.
Yeah.
And that was just breathtaking ending.
It was,
the whole episode was pretty good. The fact that they said, okay, we're going to write a mirror episode to like encounter at Farpoint, which stinks. And they did it. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
That's honing your writing skills honing your writing staff over 7 seasons. The fact they were able to pull that off. Least favorite episode.
Okay, let's get rid of Shades of Grey. Just get that off the top.
Yeah, that's the like the fucking clip show.
Oh,
yeah.
Out writer's strike.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That was in season 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, the finale.
I don't have a least favorite. I like all the
17
that I saw.
That's good for you.
That's really nice.
We already mentioned Interface.
Interface, yeah.
That's one of mine.
One I really... I mean, and there are some that I can't even imagine me sitting down and watching them. Like Family. Family.
I love that episode.
Okay, I can't handle Family.
There you go.
Like,
can't handle it.
I really like the data part. That's cool, but it's too much for me.
Right.
It's too much for me to handle Picard being like.
Because that stuff's beautifully acted.
I know.
That's like great.
It's
stuff.
Not,
down
this
on
is
the
very
planet.
Personal. He's basically talking about being raped. Essentially, he's talking about because he's talking about when he was like taken over by the Borg.
It's the one right after those. They sort of go to do a recovery episode.
Yeah. Season 4.
The only show that had no scenes on the bridge.
I mean, I think we can also just sort of eliminate Sub Rosa because...
No, that's my winner. That's my absolute winner. Look at Donna here trying to eliminate it because it's a Beverly episode.
No, I'm trying to eliminate it because it's so bad it's not even worth like considering.
No, but it's so late in the series that you're like, what?
They should have known better.
What season is it?
Seven. Where everything's going great. We're lit. We're popping. And they're like, hey, I've got a kooky idea. Let's say that Beverly's grandma dies. She like goes to the funeral and she's like, oh my God, she has this like old lantern that like a spirit lives in. And now she's written about this guy she was seeing in her diary. And now that spirit's going to come out and seduce me.
No.
And take me over. And this show is going to end with my grandma coming up out of her fucking grave.
What?
And you're like, what am I watching?
Oh
what
my
is
god.
This? Is that their Halloween episode, I wonder?
And I felt terrible for her, like it wasn't her fault. She's having sex with, like, a gaseous entity.
Oh, my God.
You're just like, what is going on? Yeah, it must look good. But I because I do think, like I was saying, like, in season 7, they were trying stuff. Because they're like, we're on our way out.
Right.
What if the Enterprise had a little baby? Let's do that. Like, it becomes intelligent. That show kind of works.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Kind of works. But they're what if we do this? Okay. And they missed. Yeah. They just missed.
So there are ones that I like don't like as much.
No, this has to be the worst.
Oh, you know what I'm going to say. And I'm so not in the majority on this one, but I can't stand Darmok.
We were going to talk about this!
I don't want to talk about it. I just couldn't.
Darmok, that's so funny to me.
I know, look.
And this is about like,
I think
a renowned episode.
I think
like
university
God.
Courses have been taught on it. Like, it's like that level of... And I'm like, I can't do it. I'm like, no, this is dumb.
Did you know they were at Tanagra?
I did. I heard that a few times.
They repeat the same words.
Yeah.
Through the whole episode, like, because the captain gets trapped on a planet with an alien captain. Picard doesn't know, and the captain knows, is the other captain, is that there's this monster they're going to have to, like, kill.
An invisible
together.
Monster.
An invisible monster.
Oh, my God.
I think it's a masterpiece.
Okay, so you
but,
do like it.
But some of us don't like emotional struggle.
It's not that.
That's
not
right.
Not emotional
right.
struggle. I sound like Dark Page. But, fuck off. You don't transport someone to another captain. Without their consent, and then start speaking this random language to them that...
So why do you like it?
I think
why are you wrong?
Why am I wrong? I think I like it for the reasons that every other person in the world likes it, which
mind.
Is these incredible scenes between this alien, who is also great actor as well, and Picard on the planet amidst the, like... total strife of the young ones up on the ships,
right?
Trying to, like, because you see the frustration and the hostility of not just simply not being able to understand each other. Very symbolic,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens when two people, even not understanding each other, cooperate? And it sounds very basic, but it's very effective.
Sure. General trivia.
I'm nervous.
Donna's gonna get every
You're gonna,
single
no.
question.
If you just shout it out if you know it.
Uh-oh.
It's gonna be an editing nightmare.
It's gonna be a mess.
What did Patrick Stewart hate about the set of the Captain's Ready Room?
The fish?
Yes.
Did it smell? Is that
no,
why?
He was at odds with them having an animal in captivity.
Yeah.
With their ethics.
Very British.
Dear God.
Who is
I was going to say the sofa because it seems so low to me. It seems like it's too low.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
That would bother me.
I feel like that's very you specific.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
That looks low. I don't know if I'd want to get up after that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to take me a good shove up.
Yeah.
In one episode, Data is sporting a full beard that he shows off to a couple of guests inside his quarters, but that beard is never seen again after he beams down to a planet with an away team.
Mm-hmm.
What is that episode title called?
It's like season 2. Because you see his weird round.
He does it, like, because Riker does it.
He's like, yeah, it is a full, distinguished, da 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 beer.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're right, it's just at the teaser.
Yeah. It's not like Skin of Evil, is it?
No. No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Because that would be too funny for Skin of Evil.
Skin of Evil's hilarious.
I don't know.
Actually, I could watch Riker screaming, Data, something's got me, and getting pulled into that black pool all day long.
Just on a GIF. Just on a loop.
Totally.
Okay, I give up on this one.
Yeah, me too.
The Schizoid Man.
Yes!
Oh,
and that's not that funny either. But that's a Data episode.
That's another ridiculous episode.
It is a weird episode. That's the beginning
Letters
of let's get Data to play everything.
Oh.
Who is the only person to play themselves in the series?
Stephen Hawking!
Nice!
Thought of it at the same time.
Yes, girl.
In what episode was were Wesley's eyelids physically forced open while he's being held
down. The game!
We are good!
What did producers almost give Deanna Troi three of?
Breasts.
Yes. Yes. Because they were inspired by the Total Recall.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Oh.
And they just wanted it to be horrier.
I think yeah. that was probably more when it
They're
was.
Like, you know what? Cancel it. Just put her in a skirt. Those are hot, right?
I loved, first of all, when they decided, when Gene Roddenberry is like, put the men in those.
I know.
I'm missing
that was Donna's favorite day.
I'm just like, but like, fantastic. What
yeah.
About?
Well, it's supposed to be gender neutral, even though it looks like a mini dress. So.
I was like, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's shorts, but with a thing across.
Yeah,
it's
a
squat.
But
it's
I like that they were smart enough. They're like, oh, if we're going to put guys in these, like, they're going to have really nice legs.
Yeah.
And then they did.
That's right.
It's all okay.
Yeah.
In what episode do Picard and two other Starfleet officers...
Allegiance. No, sorry.
You have to... Let's let him finish the question.
No, it's good. If you get it right, that's going to be impressive. They're painting... They're each painting a portrait of a nude woman posing for them in 10 Forward. Mm-hmm.
It's completely unrelated to the plot, which is why it's harder. Mm-hmm.
Picard and two other Starfleet officers are each painting a portrait of a nude woman posing for them in 10 Forward.
Just barely remember this.
I remember Data walking by him and commenting on it.
Oh, that's right. It's
totally.
It's not lessons. It's sort of a weird episode too. Like you're right. It's not related to that in any way. It's a tease. It's the teaser. I feel like it's a show I don't actually like that much.
I give up.
Yeah, me too.
A matter of perspective.
Is that the thing with Riker and holodeck bullshit? That's
three,
why I've seen
episode,
it like
three
two times.
On it.
It's
yeah.
not a good one.
Not to me.
You know what? The first time I saw it, I remember being like, oh, this is interesting. I like it. And then I rewatched it and I'm like, oh, okay, it's not great. It's stupid.
Okay, here's an easier one. What instrument does Riker play?
Trombone.
Yes.
You all had a wild stroke.
I was
like,
saxophone.
Jazz. What do you play?
Okay.
Contemporary?
Also,
jazz.
The first season one, I really like 1100001001. I love that. That's good.
Yeah.
Minuet? And then he brings her back.
And then they brought her back.
That
God
was smart.
Love them.
That was really smart.
That was smart because Riker's too dumb to figure out he's in a fantasy world unless he sees a woman he knows is a fantasy. And he's like, wait, something's not right. I bonked that woman and she was a hologram.
Oh,
she can't be my wife. That can't be right. And they're like, whoops.
Okay, so half of this question you've already answered. Which episode did an original Star Trek character appear, and who was it?
There was more than one.
Yeah, there was three.
Were there?
Yeah.
DeForest Kelly in Encounter at Farpoint.
Oh my god.
Relics had Scotty.
Scotty.
What's his face? And then Spock was in like
a few
of them.
Two.
Leonard Nimoy was in. And also Sarek was in Sarek.
That was awesome. Mm. That was a good episode.
Okay.
That's so probably
there
my
few, favorite. There were like at least
that's
one.
My
trick
favorite
question.
Episode
yeah.
with a returning character would be that one.
Yeah.
And it also because it was like a step removed. It's not like Scotty. You know
right,
what
right,
I mean?
Right,
it was
right,
just
right.
this other character.
Yeah.
It was so good.
And he was in like I think he was in two because he was in Sarek and then he was in whatever.
When he was dying, he was yeah. Unification Part 1 and 2
mm-hmm.
is what Spock was in.
Yep. Sorry, go on.
No, it's good. That's,
we're all
that's
learning
great.
Today.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Episode title. Geordi is shot by a blast from an alien's handheld weapon while attending an event down on a planet, shortly after his visor detects something unusual on a table.
Oh, Starship Mine.
Damn. Are episode titles, is that like something, because I never pay attention to that on any TV show.
I think
yeah.
I wouldn't know any other show.
Yeah.
It's not like, if you ask me Buffy titles, I would know like
yeah.
two.
Right.
But ask me what Up the Long Ladder is.
Oh,
you'll
God.
You'll get a full answer.
Yeah, it's definitely about
the Icarus.
The partition.
Ask me about the Icarus Factor,
oh.
and I'll be like, that's some bad acting.
Wait,
that's
is,
great
is the Icarus Factor the one where Wesley gets abducted?
No, it's the one where Riker's dad comes onto the ship and acts even like a worse actor than Riker, and then they hit each other with big sticks.
The only thing I liked about that episode was his interaction with what's-her-face.
The doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pulaski. You can say her name.
The thing is, I don't think I like that actor on anything. I've never
liked her. What was the new doctor's name? Pulaski.
I know who she is.
But we all know who she is.
I didn't like her on Batman as a voice.
Great.
I didn't like her in...
Here we go.
Whatever the John Ritter movie film was where she plays... All I remember is that the tagline for this movie is Holland, where's the baby?
Raising Arizona?
Holland, where's the baby?
What name was given to Picard when he was assimilated by the Borg?
Locutus.
Nice. What was the name...
Which is Latin.
What was the name of the ship that Picard was first captain on?
Stargazer.
Nice. In the episode The Conundrums, the crew discovers they are supposedly at war with what race?
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a made-up thing, too, right?
No, they're not made up, because it's the one where they have that, like, fake executive officer.
Yeah.
Is that, like, handsome curly face? Curly
no,
guy?
No idea.
Is it the... Wait. It's not the Lycerians. It is!
Hey! Nice one!
Well, nice.
See, not all supermodels are stupid.
Comment she said.
Cheekbones are full of brains. That was so impressive.
Was it?
Was it?
Truly. The episode title name. But you know, I think it's impressive.
One of my greatest moments was I was at...
Oh, this is going to be tragic.
I had cystic acne. I was at a... one of the comic book conventions. Some sort of nerd convention, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. For a friend's birthday thing, and there were like a bunch of Star Trek people, like, and there were some comm badges on display, or you could buy, or
like,
and
like this one,
sort of.
Yes,
and then one of the guys is in uniform was like, oh, that was one from the episode of da da da, and I was like, I think I was dressed as like a Sandman character, and I'm like, oh no, actually that's the episode where Riker was taken captive by that kid on the planet Future Imperfect, and he's like, no, it was. Oh, yeah.
And then he cried.
And, like, I out Star Trek a Star Trek nerd in full regalia.
Yeah, that's because right? You're more than that.
Yeah.
You're more than that.
See, not
you're
on my sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something that is so comforting about this show, and it was so lucky to have Patrick Stewart get onto it, you know? Like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah, he made that show happen.
Yeah.
As good or as not good as anybody else was. He was the show. There's no question to me. And it is, it's like going back and seeing your friends. More than any other show that I watch, when I put it on, I feel like I'm back in an actual place.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we were able to do a TNG episode.
Yes.
Finally.
That was satisfying.
I'm thrilled. Thank you so much for coming in. I'm so glad. Like, when we have these guest episodes, it's so nice to have someone else to, like, really bring the
Do you want to come back sometime?
Yeah, you want to come back.
Talk about this again?
Sure.
We should talk about Picard. That's what
there
we should talk about.
Yeah, after we were talking about doing another.
Too fresh. Get me in 25 years.
No.
Instant.
No.
We're gonna after every episode. We're gonna do a hot Skype session, and we're gonna have fresh takes.
Fresh.
But we were talking about doing like a bonus after because it's
Picard.
10 weeks, I think we figured out. 10 episodes.
So it'll be done in like May or something.
Yeah.
So May. you'll be
done
off
school.
So maybe then we'll do a wrap up.
Yeah.
Of the really last time we're gonna see Picard on screen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Captain Nancy.
Thank you, Jerrica.
Probably, and I mean this more than like Doctor Who or any Star Wars thing, this is my favorite TV show I think probably ever. Yeah.
Go to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are at Popular Parallax. You can go to popularparallax.wordpress.com online. And then, go to iTunes, give us a rate, review, and subscribe.
And let us know what your favorite episodes of TNG are. And, you know, any episode you mention, it's going to start a whole thing. So, happy New Year,
Holding
and
sign.
We'll see you in February.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. I'm on a pleasure planet. Leave me alone. Yeah, it's a hard
I'm trying
honesty.
To read on the beach on
Look,
a sex planet.
Just because I have a Horgon here, which is like telling you that I want some ass, it doesn't mean I actually want some ass. I'm going on a Grindr to chat.
I'm just looking for friends.
Networking.